I'm not thinking about you usually when I'm studying in advance and those kind of things for sermons. I'm thinking about me. What do I want to study? What am I interested in? And I just thought in 2018 that I'd like to do something special for myself as far as study. You see, the Jews had four major feasts that they observed. And I just thought it'd be interesting for me to just look at those four major feasts in anticipation of kind of where they fell on their calendars. Now, the Jews had two calendars. They had a civil calendar, and it pretty well fit the calendar that we use today. It might be off a week or two. They had a civil calendar, but then they had a religious calendar, which got its start way back in Egypt and right after they crossed the Red Sea at their exodus. A new calendar was set up, and they referred to it as their religious calendar. The first year of their religious calendar was had the name Nisan. You got a car? Kim, what do you drive? I don't know. Do you drive a Nissan? You drive Toyota now. You know, kind of downgraded. Okay. Nisan. That's where it came from. That's the first year of the Jewish calendar. And on the 14th day of the month of Nisan, which, by the way, fell just about this time of year. You kind of overlap our month of March and our month of April. Just kind of overlap that. Just about this time of year, on the 14th day of the first month, the month of Nisan, the Jews observed the most important to them, I suppose, mentally, the most important of those Passover feasts, which is the feast of Passover. Given time, I'm sure it wasn't that way originally, but given time over the years, the Jews developed a way of keeping this Passover feast. And by the time we get to Jesus' day, we can even see it. And it was built around four cups. And those cups come from the four things that are talked about in Exodus chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. Read it with me. I'll point them out to you. Four things. Oh, let me catch you up just to where we're at on the timeline of history. Remember, God has told Moses and Aaron to go tell Pharaoh, you know, let my people go. And Moses and Aaron have gone into Pharaoh for the first time. And Pharaoh says to Moses and to Aaron, the only reason you're in here asking for this is because they got too much idle time on their hands. We're going to make their load even heavier. And so Moses and Aaron will go out, and the people will meet Moses and Aaron in Exodus chapter 5. We'll meet Moses and Aaron and say, you've made our Savior an abhorrence in the eyes of the Egyptians. And in the eyes of the Jews. You made an abhorrence, and they're just making our life more miserable because you've come in here asking for this. And Moses goes to the Lord and says, Lord, why have you done this? Why have you sent me? And God says, I've not forgotten my covenant. I've not forgotten the covenant that I made with Abraham, that I repeated with Isaac, that I repeated with Jacob. I've not forgotten that covenant. Here's what I'm going to do. Verses 6 and 7 of Exodus chapter 6. Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. Boy, that's where it's all at, isn't it? I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. That's the first thing. I will bring you out from under the burden of the Egyptians. You can think about it as the first cup. That's the way the Jews began to practice this and to observe this feast. The second cup is found in the next phrase. And I will rid you of your bondage, of their bondage. The third cup, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. Verse 7 is the fourth cup. And I will take you to me for a people, And I will be to you a God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. The Jews began to think of these as four cups, and they developed their observance of the Passover feast. As God is predicting their deliverance at the Passover, here in Exodus chapter 6, and finally occurs in Exodus chapter 12. And the observance of this Passover is set. Here's the way we're going to do this. Generations later, in the time of our Lord, it was at this Passover feast that Jesus instituted the very supper that we've partaken of today. A memorial to himself. And I'm not going to get to hit on all of these things, but the things in the Passover feast, many of the things in this Passover feast and in its observance are a type of things that we observe. They physically experience it. We spiritually experience it. And so you got these four cups. The first one is referred to by the Jews as the cup of sanctification. The second one is referred to as the cup of deliverance. The third is referred to by the Jews as the cup of redemption. And the fourth is referred to as the cup of praise. Sometimes, in the way I'm going to think about it, sometimes the Jews refer to it as the cup of presence. Let's look at the first cup. It's the cup of sanctification. It signaled the beginning of the Passover observance. In Mark chapter 14, in Matthew chapter 26, in Luke chapter 22, you have Jesus and his disciples observing this feast. And this one, this cup, a cup of containing fruit of the vine, this first cup, signaled the beginning of the Passover observance. All as they entered the houses, they came into the houses, they were assembled there. They drank this cup, signaling, okay, the feast is beginning. The observance of this is beginning. It indicated that all that were in attendance were one. They were united in this. If you weren't, and by the way, there were Jews then in Jesus' day, who didn't observe the Passover. They didn't think anything of the Passover, just as there are Jews today who think nothing of the Passover. They don't. They wouldn't think about observing the Passover, much like Christians. We observe the Lord's Supper. But there are those of us who they think nothing about missing, absenting themselves. Not because it's a day to be at the beach. It's a day it's spring break. And they take a vacation from the Lord. They think nothing about it. If that was the case, if you came into the house and this cup was taken, and you weren't interested in remembering what God had done, then you absented yourself. But all that were in that house with this cup, with this first cup, were saying, hey, we're one. We're observing this feast. We're not just going through the motions. We're observing this feast. A history of the Passover was reviewed. I don't know exactly how it went. But it included how all of this occurred. You know, we weren't a nation. We weren't a people. And we were starving to death. There was a drought. We were starving to death. But Joseph was found as the second in command down in Egypt. And so all of our people went down into Egypt. But there were only 70 of us, or 72, depending on how many. We weren't a great nation. There were only 70 or 72 of us. But God blessed us. Even in that foreign land, God blessed us, but we lived there 400 years. And over that 400-year period, we began to multiply, and God blessed us with that. But as we multiplied, it became obvious to a Pharaoh who no longer knew of Joseph and what he stood for and what he meant. He just saw us as a problem for the nation. And so he determined that they'd make us slaves. But we continued to abound. We continued to multiply. They tried to control us. They tried to control how many there were by killing the baby boys when they were born. But we continued to multiply, and we continued to abound. But for 400 years, we served as slaves in a land that belonged to someone else. We didn't even have a land. But God had made a promise to us. He had made a promise to us that we would become a great nation. To our father Abraham, he took him out one time and he said, look up there into the sky. How many stars are there? Count them for me right quick. Your seed will be as the stars of the sky. They'll be like they'll be as the number of grains along the seashores. But there were only 70 or 72 of us to begin with. We didn't even have a country, but God had made us a promise. He had promised our father Abraham, every place your foot touches, it'll belong to you. But it'll be your descendants who'll live there. But we didn't even have a country at that time. We weren't a nation. We weren't a nation. We were slaves. We were slaves. So the history of the Passover is reviewed as it begins. The Passover lamb is recognized. The blood of that sacrificed lamb, much of the time, the blood of that lamb, some of it was taken out, and even at the time of our Lord was smeared on the doorpost and on the lintel. This would have occurred downstairs. That's where the door is. This would have occurred downstairs. The feast that Jesus observes with the disciples in Luke chapter 22, Mark 14, Matthew chapter 26, it was observed in an upper room. That may be why we don't have a record, we don't have anything said about this cup being drank, this cup of sanctification being drank, because that would have occurred downstairs, and we pick up the story upstairs in the upper room. But the first cup was a cup of sanctification. Now upstairs in Luke chapter 22, now upstairs, the second cup is observed. Here we go. You ready? There we go. It's the cup of deliverance. The cup of deliverance spoken of. And they take it right out of that Exodus chapter 6, verse number 6. I will deliver you from slavery to them. It's a cup of deliverance. This one began with an inquiry. With an inquiry taken from Exodus chapter 12, verse number 26. Exodus 12, verse 26. When this Passover feast, this Passover observance was instituted, here's what God said to them. It shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean these services, or this service? That you'll say to them, it's the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians, delivered our houses, and the people bowed their heads and worshiped. And so a question was asked, usually by a young boy. We don't see the young boy in the upper room in Luke chapter 22, but that may give us some insight into why it is told to us about John, who would have been the youngest of the apostles. John having the special seat, the one by the Lord. And some think that it's John being the youngest, even though he's not a young boy perhaps, it's John being the youngest who is in that position so that as this feast and this memorial is continuing, John says, what meaneth these services? And it continues. And this is said. It's the Passover. This is Drake recounting their deliverance. Their deliverance not only, folks, and it's important that we remember this, their deliverance not only from slavery to the Egyptians, but eventually from death itself. We'll touch on that just a little more in just a few minutes. It's at this time, as this cup is being drank, that the Passover is eaten. The roasted lamb is eaten, along with bread, unleavened bread. The gospel accounts of Jesus observing this last Passover, it's at this during this point that Jesus takes some of that unleavened bread and he blesses it and breaks it and gives it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body. This is my body which is broken for you." It's during this cup of deliverance. I'm delivering you. He's in a sense saying, I'm delivering you. There was a time when you were a slave. I was a slave. A slave to sin. A slave. But I've been delivered. And so have you. And Jesus took that and he gave it. This is my body which is broken for you. They would have eaten bitter herbs, representing that harsh time of slavery back in Egypt. Bitterness. And they would have eaten bitter herbs, which they dipped in a kind of paste. A paste, which represented to them or symbolized to them the mortar that they used in putting these bricks together, making these bricks, and then the loss of it right at the end when Moses says, or Pharaoh says to them, "You'll make more bricks and you'll make it without mortar. You'll do this. You'll do this." And this all occurs between this second cup and the third cup. This is the first of the two cups that are mentioned by our Lord in Luke chapter 22. Notice it. And he took a cup and he said to them, and when he had given thanks, he said to them, "Take this and divide it among yourselves." It's the first cup mentioned in Luke chapter 22. You'll have another one mentioned in Luke in 22 verse 20, I believe that it is. That'll be the next cup. But this is the cup of deliverance. The cup of deliverance. Let's look at the third one. We'll spend a little more time on this one, probably. It is the cup of redemption. Again, taken from Exodus chapter 6. "I will redeem you with an outstretched arm," or with a powerful arm. I'll redeem you. This cup focused on salvation from judgment. I say to you again, yes, they're remembering that they were once slaves and they've been set free from slavery. Yes, they're remembering that. But the major thing they're remembering is that we were saved from death. Remember what the Lord said? The Lord said, I'm going to visit the land of Egypt, and the firstborn in every house will die, except the house with the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel. Had it not been for that, guess what would have happened in every house among the Israelites? The firstborn would have died. They're recognizing, hey, yes, we were freed, we were delivered from bondage, but more than that, we were delivered from death. Jesus takes this cup as they're remembering that the Lord passed over them. The Lord didn't take their firstborn. The Lord passed over them. And as they're doing that, the third cup is drank after the meal, at the end of the meal. It's at this time we're going to see something. Let's look at the next slide, Josh. This is the second cup that is mentioned in Luke chapter 22. Likewise, notice, the Holy Spirit wants us to be sure we see this. And likewise, after they had eaten. This is the cup that's taken after the meal. After the meal, after they've eaten the bitter herbs. After they've recalled the passing over of the Lord because of the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel. After they remembered, we were delivered from bondage, yes, but we were delivered from death. Now this cup is taken, the cup of redemption. And likewise, after they had eaten, saying, this cup is poured out for you, that's poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood. Remember Matthew chapter 26, verse number 28, Jesus will say, drink all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the forgiveness of sins. We were doomed to die. We were doomed to die. Death was ours. It was, but the Lord passed over us. Why? Because we've had that blood appropriated to our souls. And He's passed over us. Our sins have been forgiven. We've been passed over as well. Paul identifies this cup in 1 Corinthians 11:25. And again, he wants to be sure that you know which cup he's talking about. He's not talking about the cup of sanctification. He's not talking about the cup of redemption, of deliverance. He's talking about the cup of redemption. Notice what he says, verse 25. In the same way, also he took the cup after supper. This is that third cup. After supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. This is it. This is what we do. We remember the Lord has passed over us. The Lord has saved us. He's done this for us. I chase a little rabbit here. Sometimes in the Lord's church, we're accused of not talking enough about grace. I say to you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, in the Lord's church, we preach grace every Sunday. Every first day of the week, we remind ourselves we did not save ourselves. Amen? We were saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. We preach it every Lord's Day. Every first day of the week. They don't let anyone get away with saying, you guys don't believe in grace. We teach it every week. We remember it every week. Every week. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 refers to this cup as the cup of blessing. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion with the blood of Christ? This cup of blessing which we bless, is it not? Is it not the partaking with the blood of Christ, the participating with the blood of Christ, the fellowship with the blood of Christ, the communion with the blood of Christ? It's this cup that Jesus took after supper, after the supper, and said, now this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. He's talking to Jews, but who else is he including in that statement? Everybody. Shed for many for the remission of sins. The last cup is sometimes referred to as the cup of praise by the Jews. More often it's referred to as the cup of presence. Again, taken from Exodus chapter 6, verse 7. Listen to what God, as he spoke about what he was going to do at the Passover in Egypt, he said, I will take you to be my people, and I'll be your God. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God. This cup signaled the end of the meal. Okay, the observance, the Passover observance is ending now. It's the end of the meal. This is the last cup. And the presence of the Lord, it focused on God's people as one, and that God was present with them. And they were going out now in the presence of the Lord, and God was going to always be with them. Always be with them. It ended, this Passover observance ended with the singing of a hymn. We read about that in Mark chapter 24, verse number 25. And when they had finished the meal, they sang a hymn and they went out to the Mount of Olives. It ended with this. It's interesting to me that we don't read about this cup in any of the gospel accounts. Go ahead. We don't read about this one in any of the gospel accounts. We see no mention of it. Or do we? Or do we? Because remember what our Lord said in Mark chapter 14 and verse number 25? He said, "Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new with you in the kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Is it just possible? I don't know for sure, but is it just possible that at this time for this cup, Jesus says, "I'm not drinking that one with you. I will drink it with you. I will drink it with you in the kingdom of God. But now, I'm not drinking this one. I won't." You know, there'll come a time, and we talked about it last week, it's called heaven, a paradise of God, where full fellowship, where the full presence of God is at, and we'll be there. We'll be in it. And listen, as it's described, Revelation chapter 19, verse number 9, "Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And he said to me, "These are the true words of God." We've been invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. We'll be in presence of who? We'll be in presence of the Lamb. That's who we'll be in presence of. And God, there'll be no need for a temple there. Why? Because God is there. And we'll be with him. Maybe this is what Paul is saying to the church at Corinth, who were struggling with mixing this with ordinary meals. And in mixing it with ordinary meals, they were losing their focus and losing their enthusiasm for remembering. And he says to them, "As oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show forth the Lord's death till he comes. When he comes, he'll drink this cup with you." He'll drink this cup. Perhaps that's what he's saying. Next slide, please. Next slide. Mark, I think, read it for us this morning, didn't he? We hadn't even talked about this, and yet Mark, you just picked up on, chose to pick this one. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 7. "Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed." At the observance of this Passover, Jesus instituted the great memorial that we observe every first day of the week. During the cup of redemption, let me back up. During the eating of the meal, he took the unleavened bread. "This is my body," he said. "This is my body that's broken for you. Do it even now," he said. "Do it even now in remembrance of me." After the meal, he took the cup of redemption. Redemption. As they've been thinking about, we've been redeemed. We were slaves, yes. But more than that, God said he was going to take the firstborn of every house. Had it not been for the blood, we would have died. We would have died. But he gave us the blood. He gave us His blood. And so He passed over all of us. And Jesus takes that cup and says, "This now is My blood, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. This is My blood of the New Testament." Folks, he's referring back to something said in Jeremiah chapter 31 when another promise was made, wasn't it? "I will make a new covenant," he says, Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31. "I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." A new covenant. Jesus says, "This is My blood of the new covenant." Wow. Wow. And so we sing, don't we? "I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed." And so we remember every first day of the week, we call ourselves together for the purpose of remembering the sacrifice of our Lord, who is our Passover Lamb. Our Passover Lamb has been sacrificed. And so we, who are nothing, that's what Paul says in Romans chapter 5. "For while we were yet without strength," we weren't anything. "While we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly." A people who were no people, Peter will say in 1 Peter chapter 2, are now a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people that's zealous for every good work. That's us. That's us. Sanctified, delivered, redeemed, and someday, absolutely in the presence of our Lord. Let's never forget it, my brothers. Let's never forget it, my sisters. Let's observe and remember and look forward to that time when He comes again. Maybe you're here, and as our brothers and sisters in Christ, the world has become such an attraction to you that even the remembering of the things we've talked about this morning that have been done for us by our Passover Lamb has become just mundane. Just, okay, if I don't have anything better, okay, well, okay, I'm going to fulfill my duty. I'm sorry. It needs to mean much, 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 much more to me and you than that. Our sacrificial lamb, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Maybe your heart needs to be renewed and you need to return to the Lord. We'll help you with that if you feel that our prayers for you and with you would benefit you and help you. We'll help you with that. We'll do that. We're anxious. We're anxious for us all to be one, united under this great fact. Maybe you're here, though, and you're not a Christian. We want you to be a part of it with us. Our Lord died for you. The sacrifice was made for you just like it was made for us. We invite you, through our Lord Jesus Christ, to be made one with us, to be made one with Him, to be delivered, to be redeemed. If you're here, you're not a Christian, why don't you come this morning with a heart full of faith, a determination to live for Him from here on out. That's called repentance in the Bible. And be united with Him in baptism, and that for the forgiveness of your sins for which His blood was shed. If we can help you with that, we're here to help and assist with that too. In a formal way, we're going to extend the invitation, which stands open 24/7 around the clock. But in a very formal way, we're extending that invitation to you from our Lord to come to Him today. So this morning, if you stand in need of the invitation of Jesus Christ in any way, come to the front as together we stand and sing. You come. Hear the sweet